It's on.
It's on. We left off yesterday. We began to discuss this fundamental chakira about the nature, the din derabanan that appears in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah. That although min haTorah, once a kli is an ein ben yomo, once it's more than 24 hours, you're permitted to use it, even though it's treif, because no zin tam of gam is mutter. But mid derabanan, you're not allowed to do that. And what prompted the chum to make the this gezeira was gezeira otu ben yomo. We let people use old kelim. Next thing you know, you're going to use the kelim even within 24 hours. That's everyone agrees to that such a gezeira exists. But what was the nature of the gezeira? Was the nature of the gezeira just an isser bihama, just an isser shtamshus bihama, lechetchila, don't use it because you're going to make a mistake? Or was it more than that? Was it they were kiveya, that midir abundant? This is called the treifa kli. So that we already saw was a big machlekes rishonim 2 days in Tosfos and Asugya, machlekes the Chachmei Venezia that from Venice they were hacking about this shaila and in the Middle Ages about what the nature of this din is, what's the nature of this gezeira drabanan. So the truth is, this is probably a machlekes haposkim that really has its roots in a machlekes rishonim, the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, which is relevant to a shaila that comes up every once in a while. It's a shaila related to the relationship between kasher and kelim and tefilas kelim. The Mishnah tells us the very end of Maseches Avodah Zarah that when you buy kelim from goyim, so you have to do two processes in order to be permitted to use the kelim. You have to kasher the kelim either through hagol or liban. We'll talk about these processes as we go on a little bit later on. And then you have to do tefilas kelim. So there are two different halachas. There's a din of hechsher kelim, there's a din of tefilas kelim. They both appear in the Mishnah in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah. When the Mishnah and the Gemara describes these two processes, so it always describes doing the kashering before the tefillah. And the question the Rishonim is that really critical? Or is that just happens to be that's the order that the Mishnah chose, but you really could do it the other way around. So let's say, you know, when we think of tefillahs kelim, we think of tefillahs kelim of new kelim, because we usually don't buy used kelim from goyim. We usually don't buy used kelim in general. But the original din of tefillahs kelim was when you're buying kelim that were already used by the goy. So the goy was using the silver for the last 20 years. He was using these pots and pans for the last 20 years. So you have to do hechsher and you have to do tefillah. So the Mishnah says you have to do it, seems to say you have to do it in that order. So the Rishonim called the name of the Rashbam that yes, that's true, but you must do a dafka in that order. You have to first kasher the kelim, and only after you kasher the kelim do you have a right to tovel the kelim. And if you do it the other way around, Zok the Rashbam, if you went ahead and you tovel the kelim before you kasher the kelim, so the tefillah wouldn't be chal, the tefillah wouldn't take effect. Why? Because it would be a category of tovel v'sheretz biyadai. It would be like somebody who's toveling in a mikvah and holding on to a dead mouse as they're toveling. So the Gemara says, beferish, tovel v'sheretz biyadai, it doesn't work. That you can't be toveling, hold on to the sheretz at the same time. The Rambam Menachas Tshuva quotes this metaphor, and he says, that's like when a person does tshuva, but they're still doing the Aveira. First it's clapping on Yom Kippur, he's clapping on Chayit Shavatam Frech B'Lashon Hara. And then he talks to his neighbor and says, did you hear the rabbi's drasha this morning? It was terrible. And then he claps out Chayit Shavatam Frech B'Sinas Chinam. Then he turns around to the guy and says, you see that guy, that bum back there? I haven't spoken to him in 20 years. I'm never going to talk. So as he's being Chayzeh B'Tshuva on the Aveira, he's still being Machzik, the Aveira in his hands. So the Rambam says the Tshuva is going to be meaningless. It's as worthless as the Tevel V'Sheretz B'Yad. That's the Rambam's mashal that he gives. So Tevel V'Sheretz B'Yad was no good. That if at the time that you're tevely, you're still holding on to the tuba, that's going to invalidate the tevila. So the Rashbam uses that phrase here also. The Rashbam says that if a person's teveling kelim, but the kelim have chazer in them, the kelim have nevelos atreifus, they have chaylev, they have shkatzer and masem in the walls of the keli. So says the Rashbam, it's like a tevel, the sheretz b'yadai. So you have to first get rid of the treifus, you got to first get rid of the yisr, you got to first get rid of the tumah, and then and only then can you begin to be ma'ala the kli into the mikvah. That's the Rashbam's mashal. One time in my life, I had a tov v'sheretz b'yado shaila. Somebody, a woman, asked me a shaila. She was toveling in a mikvah. It was an out-of-town mikvah. It was a very warm climate. I'll give you a hint without saying the name. Think of alligators in that area. So she was toveling in the mikvah. And she got hysterical because there was a frog in the mikvah. So the shaila, in the water itself. So the shaila was, whether that invalidated the tefillah. So I said that does not invalidate the tefillah for three reasons. I said, first of all, a frog happens not to be a sheretz. It's not even one of the shmona shrotzim. So even if it would have been dead, it would have been not a problem. And number two, it's not a problem because it was alive. It may have been more of a problem for her, but it was a halachically, it was alive. So for sure, it's not tamei. And number three, even if it would have been a sheret, even would have been a dead mouse floating in the waters of the mikvah, it's a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk says that water of a mikvah is the only thing that's not subject to tumah. Achmayin abor mikvah mayim yator, that a mikvah cannot possibly become tummy. There's no way to make the water of a mikvah tummy. If you would be holding on to the sheret at the time you're trying to be taiva from tumah sheret, that would be a problem. But if she's toivling on this side of the mikvah, there's a dead mouse on the other side of the mikvah, that doesn't invalidate the mikvah. So for three reasons, I told her not to worry. It didn't make her feel any better. It just solved the halachic dimension. I tried to make her feel better. I said it could have been worse. I said it could have been an alligator, but that didn't, that somehow didn't do the trick. Okay, anyway. There's a nitziv in Pashas Va'era where he says that the tzvardeya of the makos was not a frog. He says he thinks it's a crocodile, and he writes the word crocodile, kuf resh aleph kuf, which makes a lot of sense because there are a lot of crocodiles in Egypt. So the nais of the esamachas was that v'sharat sayyar tzvadim, that all the crocodiles came all at once, and they came jumping around, and hopping around, and they came out of the water and jumping into the ovens and into the beds and everything. That was the gevaldik nais of the esamachas, but they were crocodiles, they weren't frogs. That's what the nitziv said. So I thought that was very difficult, that nitziv, because Rashi quotes from Chazal that when it came to the animals later on of Arov, so when all the animals died, so Kadosh Baruch Hu made all the animals disappear. But when it came to the frogs, it says Vayitzbrosam chamirim chamirim v'tivash aretz. Kadosh Baruch Hu let the dead tzvardeya stay in place. What was the difference? So Rashi quotes from Chazal that when it came to the animals, if Kadosh Baruch Hu would have let all the animals, all the wild animals stay, the carcasses, all the nevela stay, then the mitzvah would have made money off of them. They would have been able to take the skins off and make a couple of dollars off of the makah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want the mitzvah to benefit from the makah at all. Mashiach came by the frogs, Chazal say, by the tzvardeh, Chazal say, what do you do with the dead frog skin? What could you possibly do with it? So it was worthless to the mitzvah, therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu let it stay and rot and smelled up the whole land. So the nitziv is right that it's tzvardeh is a crocodile. They make very expensive crocodile purses. Now you can make a lot of things out of crocodile skin. So you zetman from there, you see from Chazal that it was little frogs, which were worthless skins. It wasn't the big fat crocodiles from Crocodile Town. Anyway, so that was just my ha'ara against it. But anyway, getting back to the story. So the bottom line is, there's a din called Teufel v'sheretz biyadai. So the Rashbam says, if a person's Teufel Kalim before they kasha the Kalim, that would be a bechin of Teufel v'sheretz biyadai. And that would be an unacceptable tefillah, and you would have to kasher it again, and then go ahead and tevel it again. So the Rush disagrees with the Rashbam. The Rush, in the end of Avodah Zarah, quotes the Rashbam and says it's not correct. Why? Says the Rush, what does Teufel v'sheretz biyadai have to do with this? Teufel v'sheretz biyadai means when it's the same type of a tumah. So let's say a person is tummy tumah sheretz, and he's trying to go to the mikveh to remove tumah sheretz, so he goes into the mikveh holding on to the sheretz. That's Teufel v'sheretz biyadai. So obviously he's not going to become tar. As soon as he goes into the mikveh, he's going to become vayit tamei. It's the same tumah. So how could the tvilas ha-mikveh remove it to Masheretz when you become re-tamei to Masheretz? Hashem Inkin over here says the Rush, the tumah, quote unquote, there's no tumah here. This is Isser. This is Trefus. This is Chazetz inside the walls of the pot. So the tvilas chal vis-a-vis the mitzvah tvilas kelim, and the tumah, quote unquote, the Isser is still there, and we're going to remove this Isser in 20 minutes from now. We kash it clean, we throw it into boiling water, we throw it into the fire. We're going to get rid of the tumah slash Isser. We're going to get rid of the Chazir. He says, what does that do to Teufel v'sheretz biyadai? Teufel v'sheretz biyadai means you're trying to remove tumah sheretz by going to the mikveh. But as soon as you come out, you invite the tummy tumah sheretz because you're Teufel v'sheretz biyadai. So you have to go back to the mikveh again. So that's why Teufel v'sheretz biyadai is no good. Whereas over here, it's a different kind of a tumah. It's a different kind of an issur. Ma'inyan zeh till that. The issur of chazah will be removed in a week from now when you kasha the kli. So why is the tefillin effective? The whole mashal doesn't make any sense. So clearly the Rashbam was learning that Teufel v'sheretz biyadai was more than that. Teufel v'sheretz biyadai means that tevila can't be chal when there's a davra mitame there. It's not just a technicality that when you go into the mikvah and I can become tummy again. It's worse than that. It's not that you're becoming tar, tummy, tar, tummy, tar, tummy. No. Tara can't be chal when there's a davra ma'akev es tara. It's like a chatzitza. It's like a halachic chatzitza. Just as there's a physical chatzitza, if you have a bandage on, that prevents the tevila from being chal. When there's a davar atomei staring you in the face, you're holding on to a davar atomei prevents a tevila from being chal. Nothing to do with tumah v'tahara. It's a din of nochas tevila. Whenever there's a din of tevila, tevila can't be chal when there's a davar ma'achiv, they say. So that's what the Rashbam held, a tray for food is the antithesis. I'm trying to create a kosher kli. I'm trying to take a goyish pot and turn it into a Jewish pot. So that act that Tefillah's Kehillah that I'm trying to accomplish is being prevented by a Dover HaAsar. The Chazir is an antithesis of kosher food. I'm trying to create a kosher pot. How can you create a kosher pot when you have something which is the antithesis of a kosher pot? So that's also like a Ged of Ketav Asher Asbiyad. It's Mashal Amadav Adomah. There are some Rishonim who say that when a person converts, so he has to do a Milah and he has to do a Tefillah. So some Rishonim say you have to do it in that order. If you flip the order, if you do a Tefillah before the Milah, then the whole Geirus is not Chal. Why is the Geirus not Chal? Because oral is like a tumah. Oral is a ma'akev. You're trying to become Jewish. How can you become Jewish and you're still an oral? Being an oral, being Jewish is a contradiction in terms. So the oral, some Rishonim say it's like a teva v'sheretz biyadis. There's a ritva in Yevamos that says it's like a bechin of teva v'sheretz biyadis. So the Ramban says, what does that do with teva v'sheretz biyadis? This is not tumah v'tahara. We're not being mitar the person, we're being mekadesh the person. We're trying to turn a person from being a goy into a Jew. What does that have to do with tumah v'tahara? What does that have to do with teva v'sheretz biyadis? The answer is, Tov v'sheretz biyadis was more than that. Tov v'sheretz biyadis is not a technicality. You're becoming re-tummy again. Tov v'sheretz biyadis means whenever there's something which is undermining the tevila, something which is the antithesis of this tevila that prevents the tevila from being chal. So orlus is a stira to tevilas yisrael. A tray for food is a stira to a Jewish owned pot. So a sheretz is a stira to becoming tahor. Whenever there's something which is a ma'akev, which is seisa, what the tefillah is trying to accomplish, that's the gzeir sakos of tov v'sheretz biyadim. So a kol panim, it's a machlokes in Rishonim. It's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. What would the din be when you kasha kelim? So you have to kasha the kelim first and then do the tefillah and even flip the order. For us, it's almost irrelevant. Whoever buys kelim from goyim, so for us, the whole thing is not shaykh. We are tovel new kelim and we kasher our kelim. If our kelim got messed up, you traved up a pot, so you kasher. You want to kasher things for a Pesach, you kasher them. Our kashering is a totally different kashering than Chazal. In the days of Chazal, a guy wanted a pot. He'd go to the goy, you buy a pot from him, kasher it and tovel it. So that's where the Rishon Matam Achlag is. Right, that's the only time, right? That's the only time you ever get this. Those people like to buy these websites, they like to buy these fancy, you know, old silverware or something, these crazy things. So people like that kind of stuff. So then they would have to follow the dinner Mishnah of kashering first and then tovelling afterwards. Machlegis. No, so we're not sure. So we have Machlegis and Rishon. We're not sure what the answer is in the Rashbam and the Rush. This is all the introduction to our discussion. For us, it's never relevant because for us, we almost never have a kli that requires both. Our new kelim are brand new, so we don't have to kasher them. Our trefa kelim, our kelim that we own, that we trafed up by mistake. We stirred a pot of chicken soup with a milchik spoon, so we have to kasher it. We don't have to tevel it. There's no mitzvah to tevel it again. It's our Jewish pot. It's our Jewish spoon. We have to tevel it for. The Rishonim quote was a minig in Magentia. Magentia was a town in Germany. There were three big towns in Germany, which were probably everybody here is a descendant of one of those, the people who lived in those towns. It's they used to call them the Kila Shum. There were three cities in Germany, Speyer, Worms, and Magentia. So in English, they were Speyer, Worms, and Mainz. Those were the three big towns in Germany. So basically, 99% of all the Jews in Ashkenaz lived in those three towns. Rashi was born Rashi learned in Worms. Rashi later was from Troy. He was born in Troy, then he moved to Worms, and then he came back to Troy. But Rashi learned in Vermeise. That's where the yeshivas were. When Rashi was a young man, there was very little doing in France. All the action in terms of Torah was all in Germany. So it was only later, in Rashi's time and in Rashi's grandchildren's time, when the yeshiva started to move from Germany to France. But originally, the real action in Ashkenazi Jewry was pretty much in these three towns, the Kila Shum. We read about them in the Kinos dimension. There were crusades. This time, for Chosh Steven, this time of the year. That's why we have a minhag of saying Avarachamim. We say Avarachim even this past Shabbos, even though it was a Shabbos Mevarachim, we still say Avarachim. Normally you don't say Avarachim and Shabbos Mevarachim. So sometimes people think it's because it's Svira. It's nothing to do with Svira. The reason why we say Avarachim, Shabbos Mevarachim of Iyar and Sivan is because these were the weeks when the Crusades were. So they were in the end of May. And this was the period of time when the Crusades were. One of the big Crusades was the very beginning of was Chodesh Sivan. So when the Avarachim was originally instituted as a Zecha to the Kedoshim of the Crusades. Why were the Crusades this time of the year? Why would the Crusaders come in May? Not because of Sphere. Very simple. It's warm. That's right. Because they couldn't walk. They had to trek across Europe. They had the Mishnagayim were trekking across from England and France and Germany all the way through Turkey, all the way down to Eretz Israel. Who wants to walk in the middle of January? It's cold. It's cold. It's snowy. So nobody wanted to walk then. And in the summertime, it's too hot. Who wants to run a crusade? You're going to knights with shining armor. Who wants to walk for 3,000 miles in armor in the middle of July? So they picked the right time of the year. They picked the end of April, May. That was the period when they had the Crusades. I'm not kidding. That's why all the Jews never were killed. The Crusades were killed around this time of year. So these three cities were decimated during that period, the end of the 1000s, 1100s, 1200s, whatever, that whole 100 years or so of all the Crusades. So the communities of Germany suffered greatly. The Holocaust was not the first time that they were decimating the Jewish communities in that part of the world. So anyway, so so I said before that we're probably all descendants from them, because all the Jews of Eastern Europe, when they come, had the Jews get to Poland, they all migrated from Germany. So all the Ashkenazim had their roots, pretty much. 99% of them had their roots in these communities. Anyway, so the Rishonim quote that there was a practice in the city of Magencia that whenever a person would kasha kelim for Pesach, so they would tovel the kelim also, which is a peladik minhag. We don't really understand where this minhag comes from, because the whole idea of tefillas kelim is only when you have new kelim and you buy them from goyim. If I'm a Jew and I made the kelim myself, there's no mitzvah tefillas kelim. Tefillas kelim is only alakech kelim in anachrim. So if it's my kli and it became treif, or it became chametz tikka, now I want to kasher my pots for Pesach, so what do I have to bring to the mikvah for? What's the point of that? So it's a very hard minhag to understand. So the Rebbe Peretz, some of the Chachmei Ashkenaz quote, there was such a minhag in the Rabbanim and Magencia had, it's hard to understand exactly what that minhag was all about. Whatever it is. It's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch, it's not up Pidin. We're not sure why they were doing such a practice. Anyway, getting back to the story. So in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin, it's a sfeik at the din. We're not sure whether, if ilu yitzu that you buy your antique kelim, whether you have to actually cash them first, or you can even flip the order. Whether we're concerned with this Tav Asher Adbiyada. This is all the introduction to what I want to talk about. So it comes in Ed Yehuda, in his notes on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Dagam Mevava, the notes that weren't supposed to be published. And Ed Yehuda wrote, it was his private Shulchan Aruch, and he wrote his own private notes, and he never gave anyone the orders to publish them later after he died. So then they found his notes, so they published it as a sefer, the Dagam Mevava. So in the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Dagam Mevava, the Navi writes the following compromise. He says that even if the Rashbam is right, that you have to kasha kelim first before you tovel kelim, he thinks that's only true if the kli is a ben yomo. But if the kli is an eino ben yomo, if it's already more than 24 hours, so then everybody would agree, even the Rashbam would agree, that there's no need to kasha it first. Why? Because he said it's not a tray for kli anymore. It's kosher kli. It's a gezeira b'yalma. It's an isra de gavra. You personally are not allowed to use this kli. As a gezeira, you may come to use another kli that's a ben yomo. But in terms of, is the kli a trayf? So there's nothing trayf about the kli. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing bad about the kli. The kli is not a trayf kli. So is that Nei Yehuda correct? Do we think this is right? So l'chor, this depends on everything we spoke about yesterday. The Nei Yehuda is long, because he's assuming that there's nothing really wrong with the kli. The kli is mutter. After 24 hours, the kli is mutter. It's mutter min atur, it's mutter min rabbanon. It's a gezeira b'yalma, a chiddush min rabbanon. You shouldn't use the kli, but there's nothing intrinsically wrong with the kli. Therefore, how can you call it teva v'sheretz b'yada? V'sva sheretz b'yada. There's no sheretz b'yada. There's no treifas anymore. Whatever treifas is in there is not mutter. So the Nei Yehuda makes a lot of sense according to that side of the Chakira. But those who disagree with that side of the Chakira would l'chor disagree with the Nei Yehuda also. If you hold that it's treif min derabanan, so then it's a teiv of v'sheretz b'yado min derabanan. Okay, still min derabanan. We keep dinim derabanan also. So it's a teiv of v'sheretz b'yado, albeit min derabanan. So the Yemes says this is the Nei Yehuda l'shitasa that we mentioned yesterday. Remember we said the Nei Yehuda said that if you have a kli that was only also min derabanan, let's say I cooked in it chicken in milk or something, so it only became treif mid rabbanon. So the Nei Yehuda was not to say that the gezeira of Eino ben yomo, the ben yomo wouldn't apply to it. He was the one who invoked the phrase gezeira, gezeira lo amrina. So he said, yeah, the Nei Yehuda l'shitasa, he held that this is just a gezeira b'yalma. It's not a real din in the chefza. There's nothing wrong with the kli per se. So therefore, the Nei Yehuda held, well, it's only a gezeira mid rabbanon, and therefore gezeira lo gazrina. And therefore, it's not really a teir of sheretz b'yado. And therefore, when it's Eino ben yomo, you can flip the order. But we, who thought not like the Nei Yehuda, we had a ride from Iran for the Pincha of Rabbi Ami about the earthenware jug that they trafed up with the kasher. We thought the Pashas and the Gemara, Pashas and the Rishonim was not like the Schach with Venetia. We thought the Pashas and Dvarim is that Midir Rabban is a treif kli. So if you hold Midir Rabban is a treif kli, if you're chayshish for the Rashbam, then you have to be chayshish for the Rashbam here also. So just to arbitrarily say that, no, we're only chayshish for the Rashbam within 24 hours. If 24 hours, we don't care about the Rashbam. That's only the Nei Yehuda l'shitasa, but we who disagree with the Nei Yehuda, the Pashas would disagree with this Dagam Avava as well. So Kol, this is all part of the end of Shiraim. That was not today's Shira, it was the end of yesterday's Shira. This is all part of that same Shikul Torah. What's the nature of this Issa Derabban of Gezeir Shere Ben Yomot Ben Yomot? Now we got to get back to our regular Sugya. So the main thrust of our Sugya We're still trying to solve a problem of Rav. Rav came up with this tremendous chiddush, this tremendous chumrah. Everyone's got to break their pots. All the earthenware pots, the klicheres, everything's got to be broken once Pesach comes along, because everything is chamish lava Pesach. So he asked the kasha, what do you have to break your pots? Wait 24 hours. So Rashi says it's Rav Lashitas who holds Nosatam of Gamazasa. And Tyson, the first there, it said, well, Rav doesn't really hold that way. He sometimes holds that way if it's in a walls of a pot, okay, basically like Rashi. Then Tyson, the second there, it said, no. The reason why you can't rely on the cool of Nosatam of Gam is because that's not really a proper cool of Chetchila. It's only a cool of Bidiyevin, but we have no right to let you go ahead and cook with a pot. That would be a violation of the Chetchila. So those are the standard answers in the Rishonim. Comes the Ran in our sugya and quotes Yesh Oimrim, a radically different answer, which is going to take us in a totally different turn of the sugya. Comes the Ran Yesh Oimrim and says, you know why the Gemara doesn't introduce the principle of Nosin Tam of Gam as a possible heter? Because Nosin Tam of Gam is a great kula in all other areas of halacha, with the exception of what? Chametz bePesach. Nosin Tam of Gam doesn't apply Chametz bePesach, and therefore, if I cooked chametz in a pot 6 months ago, it's nice and dumb of gam lecholadeus, and we pask in nice dumb of gam is mutter. It doesn't matter. Zok Yeshua ben Aran, if you cook your kosher Pesach food in your chametz sticker pot, even though the chametz sticker pot hasn't been used in 6 months, it's nice and dumb of gam. Irrelevant. Nice dumb of gam is not going to solve the world's problems. Nice dumb of gam is osur on Pesach. Chametz for Pesach, even nice dumb of gam is osur. That's why nice dumb of gam doesn't appear in our sugya. Comes the Ran and quotes us in the name of the Yesh Oimrim, and he says that's not true. He says, well, there is no such cloud, there is no such principle. Who else disagrees with these Yesh Oimrim? Everybody else. Rashi, Tosfos number one, Tosfos number two. Everybody else was viewing our sugya of Chametz Pesach through the eyes of Nosin Tam of Gam, and we're pilpuling. Does Rav accept Nosin Tam of Gam? Does Rav reject Nosin Tam of Gam? But nobody on the page until 2 minutes ago entertained even the wildest possibility that chametz is different than anything else. Whatever you hold about nasadam of gam and chazer and treifas and nevelos, etc., that's what you hold by chametz. It's only the Yesh Oimrim in the Ran who's beginning to make this difference. Who is this Yesh Oimrim in the Ran? You think it's just the Ran just found somebody, someone on the street, some guy in shul said, oh, I got a good answer to the Teretz. It's the Rashba. He doesn't quote it in the name of the Rashba, maybe because he's about to vehemently disagree with it, but it's the Rashba. It's the Tshuva HaRashba. The Tshuva HaRashba is the Rabbeinu Peretz also. It's the Tais Rabbeinu Peretz and the Tshuva HaRashba. That is this sheet of the Yesh Oimrim in the Ran. The question is, what's the issue? What are they arguing about?
I guess it's a small group. Yeah. So we had a concept about if it's no same time, so it's we look at that is that it's whether it's butzel or not.
Okay. We have so the exact direction we're heading to, right? It's no same time. Okay, we're going to get to in a second. So what's going on? So the Yesh Oimrim, this Rashba, Tosfos ben Peretz, come up with this razzle dazzle new mahalach. Their chametz of Pesach is different. The question is, manishtan chametz of all other isurim. So if you look in the Rashba, the Rashba tells you. Look in the Rabbeinu Peretz. The Rabbeinu Peretz tells you, my high, the chametz is different. Come to Rishonim and say, this is not the first time that we find that chametz is different from other isurim. We know there's an age-old principle called what? We know the principle called chametz of Pesach asa b'mashu. We know that chametz is never bottle. We just learned taf chav tes, taf lamed. On top of the Laman Raf, I'm a Rabbi Hilchas of Chametz of Pesach, also be Mashu, Bein Bemino, Bein Beshalom, Shemino, except the country of Ben Atam and the Shultas. But that's our Girsa. Ruba the Rishon, Shechnoch, we pass in clearly. Chametz of Pesach is also be Mashu. Zok the Rashba, Zok the Rabbeinu Peretz, Zok the Yisharim in the Ran, just as Chametz of Pesach is also be Mashu, so too, Chametz of Pesach is also Nois in Tam of Gam. Nois in Tam of Gam cannot be Mat more than Mashu. And if Mashu itself is Asur, then even as none of Gam is going to be Asur as well. That's the Yisur. That's the Lumdus of this Yeshom. That's the Lumdus of the Rashba. Doesn't sound bad. Sounds like it makes a lot of sense. We already know there's a din of Chametz Pesach Asur Mashu. So why should Chametz Pesach Asur Mashu not be related to Nesedam of Gam? So it doesn't sound like a bad corollary. Just as Pesach is different, just as Chametz is different vis-a-vis Mashu, so too Chametz should be different vis-a-vis Nesedam of Gam. So comes the Ran and conceptually disagrees with the Rashba. Comes the Ran and says that no, that the two didn't have nothing to do with each other. The din of Chometz of Pesach Asa v'Mashu, that's a din in Hilchos Taroives. That's part of pre-June's man. That's part of when we had 40 guys in the Shia. That's part of when do you say Nesin Tam, when do you say B'Mashu, when do you say Shisha, when do you say Meir, when do you say Messiah. There are dinim, there are Aisa, there are Banim, Mimim, Minim, Mishan, Aminadav, Shesh, Matira. We spent 6 weeks talking about before the end of the year. We spoke about all the dinim of Hilchos Taroivus. There are dinim of Bittel. So Chametz is the exception to that rule. Why is Chametz the exception to that rule? Either because it's Chumr de Chametz, or it's the exception to Ruchus de Davish Hashem Matir. Whatever the reason is, whatever the lomdus is, Chametz is the Yaitzim in a cloud in terms of Hilchos Taroivus. Frek the Ran, what does Nais in Tam of Gam have to do with Hilchos Taroivus? Nais in Tam of Gam has nothing to do with Bittel. Why is it that a Tam Pogam is Mutter? A Tam Pogam is Mutter because it's Botel? What does it have to do with Bittel? Harayah, says the Ran. What's the mock of Nais in Tam of Gam? How do you know that if you have a pot more than 24 hours, so you cook with it, the food is kosher? Where's the mokar? What's the famous mokar? What's the mokar of the Tam of Gam? Chlamydia is the case of kosher and kelim. But how do you know that chlamydia is only within 24 hours? What's the mokar chumash for the din of Nasa Tam of Gam being mutter? The veil shen ruli ger, right? The Torah says, lo sochon a veil, a ger shesh rechitin abachoa. Don't eat the veil, but rather give it to the goyim to eat. The implication is that it's edible to the goyim. If it's not edible to the goyim, then it's not lo sochon a veil. If that's the case, says the Ran, what does that have to do with Hilchos Taroivus? If I have a piece of nevela sitting on the floor, sitting outside in the sun, and after 3 days it smells horrible, it's gross, it's growing bacteria on it, and nobody would ever touch it, it's not royal achil anymore, it's mutter to eat. If I'm a meshugan, I want to eat it, I can eat it. Midrabanan, I can't eat achshave. We spoke about this in the beginning of the year. But midrais, it's mutter to eat, it's not treif anymore. What does that have to do with Taroivus? There's no Taroivus here, there's no mash, there's no fittle. The din of Nais and Tam of Gam is a din in the Chavetz itself. It's not called Mechalos Asuros after it reaches a certain point. So Abba Zoi says to Ran, what does that have to do with the din of Chametz HaPesach Asav HaMashu? Chametz HaPesach Asav HaMashu is a halacha that in Hilchos Taroivus, when you have ratios of treif of Chametz to kosher and Pesach foods, so then the regular rules and the ratios of Bittel Hilchos Taroivus don't apply. But Ma'inyan Zaytzel Zed is not doing anything. So therefore says the Ran, Din of Nais and Tam of Gam is in full force even on Chametz B'Pesach. So that's why Rashi didn't give that answer. That's why Tosis didn't give that answer. That's why the second Derech of Tosis. Nobody dreamt of this idea of the Rashi and the Bein Peretz because it's a tremendous Chiddush. So a Kopanim, we have a Machlekes that we've shown him over here as to what the relationship, if any, between the dinim of Nais and Tam of Gam and the dinim of Mashu. So Rabbeinu Peretz and the Rashba and Yesh Omen made the following equation. Whenever there's a Chumrah of Chum to Pesach Asim Mashu, the corollary of that Chumrah is Nais and Tam of Gam is Asur. And the Ran says, there never was such a corollary. These are two different dinim. One's a din of Hilchos Taroivus and one's a din of Hilchos Machalos Asuros. It's a din of the Cheftza that it's Mufka, the Isser is Mufka. Once it reaches the point of Nisa Me'achila, and that dinner being Mufka the year, Befkiya the year, so that applies equally to Chametz as it does to other areas of Halacha. So if a major, major Mechalikas have shown him, is there such a klal? Everyone agrees, except for Ben Atam the Shilder, so everyone agrees that Chametz Pesach Asa B'Mashu, whether that spills over to being Chametz Pesach Asa B'Nosin Tam, B'Nosin Tam of Gan, that's a highly, highly questionable. The Rashba claims that it does carry over, and the Ran says, L'Hoyot V'Amiyadim. Comes the Rashba, who's the biggest machmer in this sugya, and chuvas a Rashba and says that Nais and Tam of Gam is also b'chametz of Pesach. Comes the Rashba and says, even I'll concede that it's sometimes mutar. Says the Rashba, brisket Torah. Sometimes you reach the point where the chametz is so pogum, it's so bad. We're not sure what that line is yet. The chametz is so bad, it's so pogum, that even I will concede that that type of Nais and Tam is going to be mutter and chametz Pesach. You don't always reach that point. Chametz, you know, if you're in that grade, there are three areas, there are three different dagas, three different gradations in terms of how bad the chametz can be. If it's regular, good tasting chametz, then everybody agrees. So it's mutter, I'm sorry, it's edible, so it's also finished. It's also chametz no matter what. If it's so bad, it's so horrible, we don't know how horrible that is to be horrible, that even the Rashba concedes it's mutter. So if the Rashbam only arguing with the Ran, only that middle category where I'm willing to say it's even though it tastes bad, it's still also a Pesach, and the Ran is going to disagree and say no, that Nais and Tam of Gam applies equally to Chametz as to everything else. What's the Rashbam talking about? What kind of game is this? How bad? Who bad? What do the words mean? So this Chuvas Rashbam can only be understood in light of another Rashbam that we spoke about already several times this year. The famous Rashba and the Mishmeres Habayis. Remember the famous debate between the Torah Habayis and the Mishmeres Habayis about nois in tam lufgam. So let's take a step back for a moment. The Rashba said, what's the definition of nois in tam lufgam? The Torah says, l'ger shebesharecha t'nena v'achola, it's got to be bad. It's got to be something that's really, really bad. The mamish tastes horrible. It's miserable. No normal human being would ever eat it. That's the shear of nois in tam lufgam. Says the Rashba, tell me the truth of the Rashba. Cooked chazer in this pot 24 hours and 1 minute ago. How bad is the taste of the chazer? It's miserable. It's terrible. It's rancid. Probably not, says the Rashba. But if you'd cook potato soup in this pot, so it would give a little something, a little mashu. It's changing the taste a little bit. It's not improving the taste. It's ruining the taste a little bit. But it's not an edible. If you take a pot that you cooked last week something in and you cook food in it, the food isn't rotten. So ask the Rashba himself, if I just got finished telling you that there's a din of nois in tam lufgam, and nois in tam lufgam has to meet the point of being mamish rotten, it's got to be ruined through and through, totally inedible, how could the Gemara say with a straight face at the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah that Keder Shenem and Yomo is called the nois in tam lufgam? It's not true. The Metzias HaDvarim, it's not true. That's the Rashba's kasha on himself. So comes the Rashba and says, Al Korachach, you have to say a brisket Torah, there are two dinim of nois in tam lufgam. There's nois in tam lufgam when it's be'en, and there's nois in tam lufgam b'derech taroides. What does that mean? When you have a piece of meat sitting on the table, nothing else is mixed in. I cook, I shot an animal, I have took off the piece of meat, I put it on the table. Right now it tastes delicious. So I'll eat it now, be chayav malchus eating the veil. If I'll eat it in an hour from now, it'll taste a little bit not as delicious, but it'll still be edible, I'm still chayav. In 24 hours from now, if I'll eat it, it won't taste so great, but it's still not spoiled, so I'll still be chayv. In a week from now, it's going to taste even worse, but bekoshi, someone would still eat it, I'm still chayv. In 3 weeks from now, it's mamish rotten through and through, I can't smell it, says the Rashba, that's the Vela Shein Ruli Ger. You want to take a piece of meat be'en and be mafkia the Issa Nevela from it? You want to say that this is ois nevela, it's no longer nevela? You got to really get to the point of rotten through and through. It's got to reach that shear. That's the shear deraisa. That was the nemar halacha mashem sinai. Nevelish and ruligir. The shear of achilus adam. It's got to be something that no normal human being would ever dream of eating. Then you can be mafkir the yasin nevela from it. But says the Rashba, what if you don't want to be mafkir the yasin nevela from it? All you want to do is to prevent the din of tam ki'ika from being chal. Remember, I'm taking out a piece of nevela and it's being lost in the shuffle. I can't see it anymore. So really, minatar should be bapla barov. Elawat, there's a din of nois in tam ki'ika, gzeres hakosav, mishras, nazir, etc. So I have to reckon with a new halacha called tam ki'ika. Or, let's say, I take a pot that I cook nevela in, I can't see the nevela anymore. There's nevela balua, the molecules absorbed in the walls of the pot. I'm now cooking potato soup, so all of a sudden I have a problem in the veil. Where in the veil? Who in the veil? It's batel b'raiv. Whatever beliefs are inside of batel b'raiv. Elohat, Nebuch, the Torah says tam ki'ikar. Kach nemar Allah l'mashu sinai. It's the din of tam ki'ikar. I want to prevent the din from tam ki'ikar from being chal, zak the Rashba. It doesn't have to be rancid and rotten through and through to prevent that din from being chal. All I have to say is, it's not improving the taroves. It's not helping me. Tam ki'ikar means, when I put in a little bit of flavoring in, like a schmack, you add a little bit of chaz, and the chaz is giving a kick to the food, that's called tam ki'ikar. But if you put in something which, although it's not intrinsically rotten, but lamaisa, it's not helping the recipe. A recipe doesn't call for stale food. So imagine, you write a fancy schmancy. Who's a good recipe book? What? Not the kosher balance. What about Trefa. Julia Child, wasn't it? Was she the one who used to run the cooking shows? No? Yeah. Julia Child. Okay. So imagine Julia Child's going to come and say, here's the recipe. Put in 1 ounce of 3-day-old chazer. I'm a shugana. Said, if you would sit and eat the 3-day-old chazer, you wouldn't say it's bad. You wouldn't throw up from it. You wouldn't be repulsed from it. You would eat it, but kosher, if you were hungry tonight, leftovers from Shabbos, you'd eat off the leftover chazer. Okay. But to say that's going to be enhance the taroibis, that's hard to believe. So says the Rashba, when you're not dealing with chaz be'en, but rather you're dealing with hilchas taroives, so then the shear of nois in tam lufgam is different. The words nois in tam lufgam mean different things in different contexts. In order to mafkir the iser itself, you have to reach the point of being rotten through and through. Mamish terrible. in order to prevent the din of nice and tam of gam from in order to prevent the din of nice and tam from being chal, all it's got to be is a type of pagam. It's got to be enough pagam that the recipe wouldn't call for it. It's not enhancing the food. It's detracting from the food. It's not making the food inedible, but it's just detracting. It's taking a little bit away from the yummy, delicious taste of the otherwise food. Says the Rash, but two different halachas of nice and tam of gam. One's the din of the chefetz itself, and one's the din in the effect that molecules in tam of iser will have on a taravis. And the two different shiurim, they're both rooted in the same din of nice and tam of gam. So the Ra'ah attacks the Rashi, and this takes a task on this. Who remembers the Ra'ah's attack? Conceptually, what's the Ra'ah's biggest attack? It's learned out from the same pasuk. The Gemara says it's all learned out from Losoch Chonavela. So how can there be two different shurim and two different halachas? It's the same din. So it's a peladik Rashba. So the Rashba, and the Rashba says in the Torah Sabayis, and the Bedek Abayis screams back, and the Mishra Sabayis defends it. The Rishonim are pilpling back and forth. This is the Rashba's Yisayid. There are two dinim of Nais and Tam of Gam. There's Nais and Tam of Gam of the Cheftz itself, and there's Nais and Tam of Gam of Hilvus Tarevis. So now we can begin to understand what the Rashba's talking about in Hilchos Pesach. Comes the Rashba and says, when the Pagam is not so bad, it's not terrible, it's not horrible, it's just not improving the quality of the food, that's a taroivis taken in. That's a din ochas taroivis. There are dinim of how much creates a taroivis. In order to create a taroivis, there are dinim of kamos and of echos. There are quality and quantity dinim. What creates the nice time? In order for the nice time to kick in, it's got to be less than 1 in 60. It's got to be a good tasting food. There are dinim that have to be met. There are criteria, conditions that have to be met in order for Hilchos Nos and Tam to kick in. Tam ki ikur is a din d'arayis in the Rashba Paskins, but it has to meet certain criteria. The criteria are quantitative criteria and the criteria are qualitative criteria. It has to be a certain amount. If it's 1 in a million, it's not Tam. It's got to be qualitative. It's got to be something which is basically pretty good tasting. It's enhancing the Taroivis. That's the din of Nos and Tam according to the Rashba. So that's where the Rashba says, wait a second, those didn't fall by the wayside when we're dealing with Luchas Chametz. Why? Chametz of Pesach Asa B'mashu. Chametz of Pesach Asa B'mashu means that the quantitative conditions fall by the wayside in Luchas Pesach and the qualitative conditions fall by the wayside in Luchas Pesach as well. And something which is merely lacking in that condition, it's not A-plus ingredient, it's not the top-of-the-line ingredient, it's something which is a little schwach, something which is a little bit bare, which is detracting from the taste a little bit. So you want to say, oh, it's detracting from the taste, it's not called nice and tam anymore, and everything's mutter. That's true in Chaz and Nevelos Trefas, etc. But that's not true in Pesach. Just as in Hilchos Pesach, the Shir of Shishim is irrelevant, Chometz of Pesach Asamashu trumps the condition of Shishim, so to Chometz of Pesach Asamashu trumps the condition of good tasting tam. Because those are Dinim Hilchos Taroives, those are Dinim Hilchos Nesinis Tam. Nesinis Tam is two conditions that are necessary to be met, and neither of those conditions have to be met by Chametz of Pesach. However, says the Rashba, that is only true when we're dealing with something which is basically a Davra Asur. The Tam is still edible, the food is still edible, except it doesn't meet the criteria of reaching the normal rules of Tam Kikar. But if the food is so bad, it's sunk beneath the point where even if it would be bad, it would be mutter, because it's not called treifas anymore. The Torah is mafkia, it's not called mechol sasuris anymore. So that din is true for chametz also. The Rashba agrees to that. The Rashba says once you reach the point where it's so miserable, so horrible, then of course it's going to be mutter. It's going to be mutter even by chametz of Pesach. So we started out by saying the Rashba had this great chumra, this tremendous chumra. Chametz of Pesach also mashu, therefore nice in time of gam doesn't apply. So now the Rashba himself qualified it, said, yeah, that means the din of Hilchos Taroivis of Nais and Tam of Gam doesn't apply. But once you dip beneath the point of miserable, where it's so bad that even Liyatsu would be Be'en, it would be Mutter, if a piece of Nevela that bad would be Mutter Be'en, then the Ran's right. A piece of Chavetz that bad would also be Mutter if it's Be'en. So it's not that the Ran, not that the Rashba totally denies the din of Nais and Tam of Gam by Chametz of Pesach. The Rashba only denies one level of Nais and Tam of Gam. And the only way to make any sense out of this Chuvas Rashba is if you read the Mishperes Abayis, if you read the Teres Abayis. Only because we, Baruch Hashem, we learned earlier in the year. I said all the Shurim now, all built when we learned earlier. So only because we understood the Rashba beforehand, we were magged the Rashba beforehand, the two distinct halachas of Nosa Tam of Gam, One is the din of Hilchos Tarovis and one is the din of Machalos Asuros. The din of Hilchos Tarovis falls by the wayside on Pesach. That's Kalul. That's included in the Chumra of Chometz of Pesach Chasav Mashu. But the other din of Hilchos Machalos Asuros, Chometz is no different than Chasav Nevels and Trevis for that purposes. The only question that's a little bit unclear in the Rashi, where's the cutoff point? At what point do you say that it's dipped so bad that it becomes muti even by Pesach? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, Roel Lechilas Adam. Because that's the din of Losoch Chonavela. So the Rashba sounds that way in one place, but another place he sounds like it's the Shia of Nisim Mechilas Kelev, which is part of the old sugi about Seor, and remember back to the Raivin and the Ra, and this goes back to the first week of Shia. So we're going to have to put that on hold. That particular Nakuda, check your notes from 8 months ago and try to plug in what the cutoff point should be. But the fact that there is a cutoff point, this is clear according to the Rashba. So when all the dust settles, everybody said, what do we have? We have a major, major Mechalekis of Yishonim L'maisa. Halach l'maisa, I cooked chametz last week in a pot, and now by mistake I cooked potato soup for the Seder in that pot. What's it in? Is it mutter? Is it also? Can I eat the potato soup or not? Back to that girl who called me from NCS Y. She called me about cooking turkey in a chaza pot. I'm talking about cooking potato soup for the Seder in a chametz pot. What's the din? So according to the Rashba, it's going to be a problem. Even with the Yevon, we're going to have to ask for it, because Nosan Tam of Gam is no better than chametz of Pesach of the Mashu. According to the Ran, it's going to be mut. Big machlekes of Rishon. How do we pass in Halacha and the Shaila? So it's machlekes the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch is mekel in the Shaila, like Rashi and Tosis and the Ran. The Nos and Dam of Gam on Pesach is the same as all year long. So Nos and Dam of Gam is going to be mutter on Pesach, it's mutter b'chametz. And the Ramah says, no, Yesh Machmirim, he quotes Rabbeinu Peret, he quotes the Rashba, he quotes Yesham and the Ran. And we have to be machmen. He says that's the minig in Armadinas. In the Ashkenazi communities, the minig has become to be machmen in this. So therefore, lemaisa, if this girl would have called me that her grandmother by mistake cooked the food for Pesach in a chometz tikka pot, I would have told us to be a Sephardi for that week. But according to the Pesach of the Ramah, the standard Pesach for the Ramah, Ashkenazi Pesach, is lechomer. The Nazir Dam of Gam is in fact a problem.
Do we assume that Stam Kielin parents had a chometz in them?
Do what?
Do we assume that Stam Kielin were
I'm Kalim, and if it's your chametz tikka pot, so then it's obviously your chametz.
What?
If it's your chametz tikka pot, if you knew you've been using chametz the whole year, I mean, you want to know.
Assume that also with this girl from NCSY. No.
We have a rule called Stam Kalim in a bnei yomer. If I have a pot sitting in my closet and I don't remember when I used it last, because the odds are you probably didn't use it for hot chametz hot trefes in the last 24 hours. But according to the Pesach of the Ramah, it's not going to make a difference. Because even if I used it for Chometz 6 months ago, it's going to be a problem.
But to this girl, so you wouldn't have that Shaila still.
For Chometz or regular Yisurim?
For even Chometz, because it was Chometz Shabbat Pesach. At some point, she used Chometz in the end of the Pesach.
No. If the Shaila would be like this, let's say she would come to her grandparents' Seder, and she realized that all the food was cooked in Chometz Tikka Pots.
Right. So it's only on Pesach, after Pesach.
You want to read? After chametz of a Pesach, that's the least of our problems.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about on Mama. She cooked chametz tikka food. You could paste tikka food in a chametz pot on Pesach. So we're machmir like this Ramah. However, even the Ramah has a kula. We can squeeze out one last kula out of the sugya. What's the kula? What do we mean that nosan tam of gam is usur on Pesach? When does Pesach begin for these purposes? So remember, when we learned the sugya of chametz of Pesach asa b'mashu, we learned that chametz of Pesach asa b'mashu only applies. It was the last sugya right before the break. Only applies if the tarovus happens on Pesach itself. But if the tarovus happened before Pesach, there was a big machlekes of Rishonim. And the way we pass in halacha, we say eino chos of aneir. Remember that we had a big machlekes about that. If you have a little bit of chametz, a mashu of chametz gets mixed into a big pot of kosher food a week before Pesach. So some Rishonim said, once Pesach comes, you have a problem. Chometz of Pesach, Chometz of Mashu, so the Rambam said. But the Rosh said no. The Rosh said, Chometz of Pesach, Chometz of Mashu is only when the Tarovis is Chal on Pesach. But if the Tarovis happened before, a week before Pesach, so it was Chal of Shem Heter, and once it's Chal of Shem Heter, then it never becomes Otz. It's not Chayz of Aner. Remember, we spoke about this to Ramah, with the Raif, the Gwen Nadarim, about how first Nadarim, oh, there was a question on the Bechina, no? Wasn't on the Bechina. The first Nadarim Shal, right? Everyone take the Bechina? Okay. How did you take the Bechina? You don't take it. Okay, good. I'm going to give you a freebie since you just came to the show yesterday. So, okay. There's no Bechina for Jews, man. Don't worry about it. Drill the Shema. So, L'chora, even if you want to tell me that Nais and Tam of Gam is a problem of Pesach, the biggest Machmirim, that's only if you cooked on Pesach itself. But what if you cooked, let's say you were cooking a week before Pesach, and by mistake you realize you use your chametz tirapatz. I've had that shayla, people make that mistake all the time. By mistake, they're cooking a kosher Pesach, a chicken soup, in a kosher Pesach pot, and by mistake they pull out a ladle to stir it, and they realize, oh my goodness, it was a chametz tikka ladle, gewalt, what's the din? So nishkefelach, why is it nishkefelach? If it was a ben yomo, then you got a big problem. Then it's not nishkefelach, it's gefelach. Then you have to figure out, you have shishim connected a little bit the ladle that went in. But even if it was a big ladle and small pot, so you can have a problem. If it's nice and dam of gam, it's going to be mutter. I just got finished saying the Rambam says nosa dam of gam is also on Pesach. No, nosa dam of gam is part of the chumra of mashu, but the chumra of mashu itself only applies on Pesach itself. If the tarovis took place, if the bittul took place before Pesach, once it was karel of shem heter, just as we declared that the mashu was bottle before Pesach, and then we're not going to stand chayz v'neir in Pesach, so to the nosa dam of gam was bottle, in fact was mutter before Pesach, and we're not concerned with it once Pesach comes. So we could breathe a sigh of relief. So if this girl would have gone to her grandparents and the grandmother would have done all the cooking before Pesach, then we would have looked away. We would have said, that's the time of Gamba's mutter, even according to Ramon de Rashba. What if the cooking would have taken place Erev Pesach in the afternoon? A lot of women are cooking at that time. And that's when most of these problems happen. You know when most of these problems happen then? Because they forget to, they haven't taped up their cabinets yet. Sometimes the women are already cooking, but all the chametz stuff hasn't been taped up, which is a bad idea. So then what happens? She pulls out a spoon and starts stirring the pot. So is that okay or is that not okay? So remember, we had a machlokes and rishonim. Is Erev Pesach considered to be like Pesach for these inyanim or like before Pesach? What did it depend on? The machlokes and rishonim, why is chametz Pesach also the mashah? And who remembers? Machlokes the Ram and the Rosh. If it's because of Dovash Eish Lamatirin, Afil Bialaf Lo Batil, so then that applies even before, even in Erev Pesach. But if it's based on Chumr de Chametz doesn't kick in until dark, because that's when the din of Karis kicks in. So Baruch Hashem, we could breathe another sigh of relief, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins that any bittul that took place at Erev Pesach, even after Chatzai, still gets dark, we use the regular rules of bittul, the regular Hukos Tarovis. So therefore, Chametz of Pesach, Asa B'Mashu, wouldn't apply on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. And the corollary of Chametz of Pesach, Asa B'Mashu, namely Nosa Tam of Gam, also wouldn't apply on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. So we have two sides of relief. Even though we're the biggest machmirim, we follow the Ramon, the Rashba, and the whole Shulchan Torah, the Chametz of Pesach is also been as in Dam of Gam. If it's before Pesach, it's mutter. And even if it's on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, after Chatzais, it's also going to be mutter. So at the end of the day, this whole Shulchan Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, the whole discussion about what the din halacha ma'aseh and nice in Dam of Gam and Pesach is all a response to Asugya. It all starts in Asugya. It's all the Rashba's answer to the Kashin Asugya. Why doesn't Rav address Nosa Tam of Gam as being a mitigating factor and saying everything's mutter? Why do you have to break pots for into Rav? What happened to Nosa Tam of Gam? So according to Rashi, it's Rav the Shittasa we don't follow. According to Tosis, it's this answer, that answer, the other answer. But according to the Rashba, Rabbeinu Peretz, Yesham and the Ran, no, it's fundamental because Nosa Tam of Gam is also on Pesach. So we then went to reevaluate that sheet, but the Rashba qualified that sheet a little bit, introduced the whole concept of two kinds of Nosa Tam of Gam, and then how it plays out Lamaisa. So we finished pretty much the first sugya. Everything we've been talking about is just the different approaches and the Rishonim's answer that is one kasha. How come Rav doesn't address the issue of Nosa Tam of Gam? Okay. Stop. Is it tomorrow back to the regular time? 12.
Where? It's in the Heights Lodge. Wait, what's the story next week?
Next week, I guess, we'll